Thanks so much for tuning in to Unreal Bluegrass. I'm Steve Martin, our guest today, Nuevo South, also known as Larry and Joe. We're going to talk about their brand new album. The combination of bluegrass and Venezuelan music is just really stunning to me. We're going to start off this part of the program with Caballero Viejo, and then we're going to talk to Larry and Joe, and I want you to pay attention. If you speak Spanish, great. If not, Joe's going to translate everything Larry says. You're going to enjoy this so much. Listen to this tune. Then we'll talk to Larry and Joe. Thanks again for tuning in to Unreal Bluegrass. To the audience of Unreal Bluegrass, you just heard Caballero Viejo, which I'm butchering the pronunciation of, which I just got from Joe, of Larry and Joe. It's a new album from Larry and Joe. The title of the album is Nuevo South Train. And I have both gentlemen here available. Joe, I'm speaking to you first, and you can interpret for Larry. Larry's last name is, I want to say... You say it for me again.
It's Bellerin.
Bellerin. All right. I knew I had the wrong emphasis. I wasn't putting the proper emphasis on the last syllable. So, Joe Troop and Larry. Joe, the audience of Unreal Bluegrass is familiar with Shea Appalachia. So, I want you to talk a little bit about that band, which was now, what, a couple years ago. Is that right?
Yeah. We haven't done anything in the past 3 years because I guess we were an unfortunate casualty of the pandemic.
Yeah.
We were actually on tour when COVID shut everything down, and my bandmates fled to their respective countries, and I stayed in the United States to sort of clean up the mess from that tour. And you know, it just time kept marching forward as it does, and I never actually made it back to Buenos Aires, Argentina, and so. In between 2020 and 2021, I was trying to be musically active. All musicians know that was a really hard time to do so. But in December of 2021, I met Larry at a residency that I was doing in Durham, North Carolina. And we hit it off immediately. We knew we had something special. Larry is an amazing Venezuelan folk musician who is a multi-instrumentalist and multi-stylist and incredible singer.
And I was going to say, what a voice. There's one of these songs on the album, and the name escapes me, but it's basically him singing. And I thought, I just loved it. Listen to it over and over again. Beautiful voice, Larry.
Yeah, he does sing a lot on the album. We do most of the singing together, and then there's moments where we each have our own solo part. But anyway... Yeah, so Larry is an asylum seeker. He lives in Raleigh as of 6.5 years ago, and he left a very illustrious musical career behind in Venezuela to fend for his family here by the only means he could find, which was construction work. And up until about a week ago, that's what he was doing. But thankfully, this duo has given him and me a chance to get back to music full time. You know, Shea Appalachia was a band that I formed with three of my students. I had been building that for the better part of a decade, and so it was very it was a lot to take in, having to lose that momentum and everything that was about to happen. It was sad, you know. And Larry is also coming out of a very challenging period in his life. I would say his burdens are greater than mine, to quote the Ralph Stanley, Stanley Brothers song. But luckily we formed this musical partnership, and we have been fortunate to immediately be able to take it to the stage. And now we are on a massive nationwide tour, and that's what we're going to be doing for the foreseeable future.
That's why I'm so glad you had a chance to talk. I know you're in a car right now because you told me that before we started. So I really
we're in a blizzard in Vermont.
I really, really appreciate it. I know the fans of Unreal Bluegrass do too. Here's the song I was thinking that Larry just really blew my mind. I cannot, and I have bad handwriting on top of the fact that my Spanish learning was in high school. But I'm going to say it's La Tonada del Caballero.
Yeah, that's Larry plays the harp and I sing.
Okay, well there you go.
Yeah.
And what's the
So I'm the tenor and Larry has the lower voice.
Okay, good. Thank you for that. And so who on Border Wall? There's a third voice.
We cut Border Wall with Deshaun Hickman, who is an amazing Sacred Steel player from Mount Airy, North Carolina.
Well, and I was going to mention there's a steel guitar in there, and I thought, well, where'd that come? I know that Larry plays a lot of things. I know that you do as well, but so that helped answer me that question also.
Yeah, that particular track is with a guest artist. We had several amazing guest artists on the album. Of course, the album was produced by guitar hero Charlie Hunter, yeah. And he played on several tracks. Then
I have right behind me, this is no lie, I have right behind me about 6 CDs of Charlie Hunter music I just got out of the library, which is what I like to get them and listen to them. So
Charlie's a force to be reckoned with, yeah. And we are so fortunate that he decided to live in North Carolina. Yeah. He's in Greensboro, and he produced this album, and we got to work with him. He really, really helped us deliver the concept we were going for. And Brevin Hamden played percussion on a track. Nelson Echandia is a wonderful Venezuelan bassist who accompanied us on a track as well. So we've got those 4 guest artists to round it out, but the bulk of the album is just the 2 of us, of course.
So you mentioned, so I don't forget this, you're on tour now, you're headed someplace in Vermont, but so if someone goes to a website, if they wanted to go to a website, find where Larry and Joe are going to be, what, they would just look for Larry and Joe?
Yeah, larryandjoe.com.
Okay.
You can find all of our tour dates that are public at this point up there. And you can also follow us on social media as at Larry and Joe. It's pretty simple.
Well, I want to I'm by no means finished with you, Joe. I just wanted to make sure I got that in there. But I want to talk about the album and the sound is something that I think – I don't know that I've heard this. Well, I haven't heard these combination of tunes and playing and arrangements. And you can feel free to throw this out to Larry also, and you'll have to interpret for him. But I tell you, well, let's do it this way. Ask him while you're there, while you're sitting with him, what was his first exposure to Joe's kind of music, to your kind of bluegrass sound? What was that when he came from Venezuela? What was it? What was the first thing about that type of music that attracted him?
Sure thing. Larry, cuando viniste de Venezuela, me conociste a mí, ¿cuál fue tu primera impresión de la música folclórica que yo toco y por qué te llegó a impactar? ¿Por qué te llamó la atención?
El bluegrass me impacta por el sonido de las cuerdas, ya que soy cordofonista.
Bluegrass caught my attention because I'm also a string band musician.
Okay.
And bluegrass is strings.
Yeah,
pero
okay.
El estilo de la música del bluegrass me identificó mucho con lo similar al folclore venezolano, ya que es una música un poco más campechana, un poco más viva.
But the style of the music really resonated with me. It reminded me of Venezuelan music, which is also, very country in its essence.
Well, okay, let me just take, and this will be hard for me to express, easier for you to translate than for me to express. So is it a feeling, is it the feeling or the sound? Do they sound alike, or is there a similar feel that you get from, I guess, the folk
yeah.
nature of both music? You know what I'm trying to
es
say?
¿Es el sentimiento o es el sonido lo que les hace parecerse?
Las dos cosas están pegadas.
He says both of those
okay.
things, both the sound and the feeling, there's some sort of similarity.
Yeah. So Joe, I'm talking to you again, and you can refer to him, yeah. to Larry if you want to. But so that's what I kind of was thinking. Number one, he's a string player. He's going to be attracted to good string players, which is bluegrass is full of them, as Charlie Hunter is also. But and I also feel like that it would appeal to, I guess, the folk heart of anyone around the world. There's a deep down feeling that you get from bluegrass, and I think also maybe from Venezuelan music, and also from what you were doing before, that I would just throw a big blanket over the whole world and say that's a folk sound. It doesn't matter what country, but it's relatable.
Yeah, it is relatable, and it is a folk sound, though within the world music traditions, there's so many world music traditions, not all of them seem to have such a stark similarity as bluegrass,
okay.
and música llanera. They are, there's this sort of intensity and attack that both llanera music and Appalachian string band music have, that it almost feels like they're long lost Maybe they're old friends that knew each other from a previous life.
That's a great description. So as I look through the list of tunes, the audience heard one as we began. Larry's Capacha.
Cachapa.
Yeah, okay.
Larry's Cachapa.
Okay. Is that Larry's song or just something that he named?
A song that I wrote for Larry for his favorite food. Cachapa is like a sweet corn pancake. It's a Venezuelan dish that is served with cheese and, in Larry's case, fried pork, which is his favorite fruit. ¿Verdad, Larry?
Yes.
That's the greatest thing of all. Fried pork.
All right. Well, I looked it up a little bit, even with my mispronunciation. I looked it up. I saw a lot of different photographs. I saw it compared to another South American dish, which is similar. It's kind of like, for Americans, we would say it's a pancake. But, it's a folded over. But I have never heard of pork as being a fruit.
Yeah, that's Larry's invention.
That keeps it all on the good side. If you're under any directions from your doctor, yes, are you eating fruits? Yes, I am. And you can just say fried pork.
Si te preguntas si estás comiendo fruta, decís sí, claro, puerco frito.
Estrictamente lo dieta.
Strict is a very strict diet.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Only fried pork.
You must be having fun. I mean, and it helps Joe that you're so familiar with his culture and you brought him into yours. Like, can I ask you a little bit? We're talking about him being on asylum in North Carolina, and is that where you, where he contacted you, or how did you meet then, Joe? Was it at a music event? What was the attraction? How did he find you? How did you find him?
Well, a mutual friend tipped me off. Actually, tipped both of us off that we existed, and so we eventually got on the phone. I was, like I mentioned, going to be doing a residency in Durham, and Larry lives in Raleigh, so I checked out some of his videos, and I thought, no way, this guy can't be in North Carolina. This is incredible, and so I was already a huge fan of Venezuelan traditional music. I've listened to it since I was a teenager, but have rarely had the opportunity to collaborate with a Venezuelan folk musician because, of course, I lived in Argentina. And anyhow, we got on a. I called him one day from Lafayette, Louisiana, where I was recording an album. That's kind of where I thought I was going to move after rambling in 2021. And we got to talking, and we realized we had a similar perspective on music, like how it doesn't have to have borders. We're very traditionalists at heart. We play traditional music, quote unquote, the right way, but we like the notion of fusion. And so we met up at this residency, and sparks flew. It was an immediate connection, and that's when we decided we needed to turn this into something. So I started deciphering harp cuatro bandola patterns on the banjo. Larry started listening to all kinds of bluegrass music and figuring out the rhythmic peculiarities of the genre.
So was he listening to finger rolls or alternating thumb patterns, all that stuff?
Yeah, totally. And he's now taking them to the harp. We're actually doing not on that. It's not on the album, but live. We're starting to play. I play banjo and he plays harp, and he does kind of like a bluegrass bass in the low register like mandolin chop, and it sounds like bluegrass. It's hard to express.
That's great.
They do somehow, these two traditions, they fit together well. And there's no stigma in música llanera or Venezuelan folk music with regards to the banjo. A lot of Venezuelans have asked me, what part of Venezuela is that instrument from? I'm like, no, this is a five-string banjo. It's has African roots, but it took this form in the United States, and it's not a Venezuelan instrument.
Wait a minute. People ask you what kind of a Venezuelan instrument the banjo is?
Yeah, some Venezuelan musicians asked what reason, because Venezuela is such a diverse musical.
Okay, I see your
place.
I see your point.
People mistakenly thought it was, like, it fits so well in the tradition, some people assume that it was part of it.
I see what you're saying. Okay, yeah.
Because the banjo player is a wonderful one.
Well, because we're welcome so many places.
Yeah, you're not always welcome.
No.
I have found a tradition where the banjo is welcome, so I'm very happy about that.
So Larry, you can ask him this, but you ran through some of the instruments he plays. I've watched his old videos with harp playing and Tell me some other, and if they are particularly native to Venezuela, I would like a little bit of description of those, either from you or interpreted through Larry's discussion.
Él pregunta por los instrumentos que tú tocas y si son nativos de Venezuela.
Sí, de Venezuela. Toco la gran mayoría de los instrumentos autóctonos representativos.
So I play the great majority of the native Venezuelan instruments, the most representative of my country.
Pero también he tocado percusión latina, un poco de instrumentos aerofónicos.
But I've also played Latin American percussive instruments and wind instruments.
The percussion is what was just amazing. I don't know what it is, but the percussion. I love it. I just love it.
Nuestra percusión menor en Venezuela es las maracas.
Our minor percussion in Venezuela is maracas.
Dependiendo la región, el estilo de música cambia y cambia el estilo de la maraca.
And depending on the region of the country, the style of music varies, and also the style of maraca.
Y por la misma cambia la ejecución.
And the playing technique also changes.
I am just, you know, I'm drinking all this in, and you, I think Joe too. Of course, I'm just now getting into it through you and Larry, but you guys are still learning, and like you just mentioned something that was doing on a harp that was new, that's not on this record. So you're still discovering each other's musics and where the music are going to fuse together.
Oh yeah, we're taking our first steps in this project. This is a long haul project. We both made huge changes in our lives in order to accommodate this project. Larry has left construction, which is, in a pandemic, it was something that he could rely on to fend for his family. I moved back to North Carolina and have put everything else on the back burner for this project. We want to explore these musics with each other. We are we're forming a what I hope is an extensive musical partnership through many, many years, and it takes time to decipher these different musical styles, and it's a lot of fun. It's a very joyous. Somehow the sound of the harp and the banjo, that's what we first noticed, that worked really well. But, you know, Larry also plays the cuatro, and I play the fiddle. So fiddle and cuatro is like a mini set that we do. The guitar and upright bass we put on our folk and, like, you know, kind of honky tonk hats sometime, and we do that. So since we're both multi instrumentalists and singers, we have a lot that we can explore, and our live performances are somewhat like a variety show, because there's a lot we want to get out there, and the sky's honestly the limit, because within those combinations you can make more combinations. We're just now working on a guitar and harp number, and there's Larry's Cachapa is fiddle and harp. There's of course banjo and cuatro on the album.
I love these instruments. I love the instruments. I love
the combinations are fun. It's like it's a new tradition. That's why we called the album Nuevo South Train. Like the Nuevo South is what we are. Like there's a ton of immigrants from all over Latin America living in North Carolina. But there's thousands of Venezuelans. I think there's something like 14,000 Venezuelans living in North Carolina already. And they come out to our shows. And our audiences are not just Appalachian music fans. They're also Latin American music fans. And no verdad, Larry, que nosotros tenemos un público muy diverso.
Sí, tenemos como nuestro estilo lo quiere o lo hemos formado para la inclusión.
Yeah, we have formed this musical union in this style for inclusion.
Tenemos un público bastante mixto.
We have a very mixed audience.
Tanto en los músicos del folclore norteamericano como en el folclore de Colombia, de Venezuela.
Yeah, with a lot of our audience is folk musicians from the Appalachian region, yeah, but also from Colombia and Venezuela. People like musicians are coming to watch us.
Well, that's what I was going to get to. If Larry still wants to say something, I mean to interrupt you. If listeners of Unreal Bluegrass, I'm talking to Larry and Joe, and they're communicating back and communicating to me through Joe Troop. But here, let's that's what I was thinking. If you came to my town and I'm a musician. I'm very much interested in musicianship. I think that I would go instantly for that to see how it was done, aside from the fact that I love the music. But I think at that concert, I would see a lot of other people that I recognize as players.
Totally.
You know?
There's a lot of curious players out there because, of course, respectively, each of us have to make adaptations to our instrument playing. Like the banjo, I'm playing it in a way that's unorthodox in order to play Venezuelan music. And when Larry plays the Venezuelan harp, he has to use unorthodox techniques to play bluegrass. So and the maracas, for example, were never played in bluegrass music, so the swing is different than you would encounter in música llanera, and so that, you know, that has its implications to the techniques that we have to use. So on that level, for musicians, it's fun, it's eye candy. You get to see an open exploration. But beyond all else, we just want to make people feel good, joyous, get them dancing, and let them know their neighbors. You know, it's kind of cool to see the kind of, the audiences that we're getting out. It's fun to see these people from such diverse backgrounds in the same space in this joyous occasion, dancing together. And there's a lot of Venezuelans. They had to scurry out of Venezuela like rats. Their country imploded disaster.
Yeah.
And a lot of them will come to these concerts and be very, very touched by what's happening. There's a lot of tears and a lot of healing. It feels like our concerts are medicine, ¿verdad, compay? Que parece medicina para los venezolanos que nos vienen a ver.
Es medicina.
It's medicine.
Yeah.
Ellos no solo extrañan a Venezuela. Ellos sienten a Venezuela a través de cada nota y ahora la identifican a través de un instrumento nativo de los Estados Unidos.
They don't just miss Venezuela. The Venezuelan folk music is an identity for them, and now they're able to identify with their own musical culture through an instrument that is native of the United States.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. Hey, can I back up on one thing with your initial connection between the banjo and the harp? Is there anything to do at all with a drone, the fifth string drone, and is there any droning in the harp that makes them work, or is it just something new?
It's like the constant arpeggiation.
Okay.
And they're similar in ways. Of course, the harp has a much bigger register. You've got the bass and the treble.
Yeah.
But the harp and the banjo are similar. They have like the plinky planky, and they have a quick decay, right?
Okay.
Sometimes in certain recordings, we would be like, wait, was that me or was that you? Because they're so similar, they sort of fold into one another in this ethereal way.
It works like a
glove. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I don't want to try to overanalyze it because I think there's some magic going on, but finish what you were saying.
Yeah, I mean, it's good to just take it at face value. If something works, don't fix it. You know what I mean?
Right.
And we both realized I would have been the most skeptical about a duo between banjo and harp. I would have said, is that going to work? And then when you hear it, because of the, I guess, the collective musical explorations each of us have done throughout our entire lives, we found some sort of interesting common ground that really does sound good. You know, there's a certain swing. There's like a hybrid swing that we're finding that meshes perfectly. And, the audience, one of the main reasons this duo formed, ¿verdad, compa? Que la reacción del público en diciembre de 2021 fue increíble.
Sí, incluso el aplauso fue algo fuera de lo normal porque fue de pie.
In 2021, in December of 2021, when we first had our first musical collaboration on stage, we got standing ovations immediately. People were really moved by the music, and we were just trying to survive. We were still trying to figure it out, you know. But the music really touched people. And then at our friend, you know, Bela Flex Banjo Camp, he invited us to perform in front of, you know, thousands of people, and that sort of galvanized the, oh yeah, this does work. This touches people's hearts. We got a standing ovation from, you know, mid-show from 3,000 some people.
I knew you were there, and I know that Bela's very crazy about your playing and your music.
Bela's one of our heroes because he does exactly what we're trying to do. He respectfully assimilates musical traditions
from all
and from all over and tries to fuse them in an authentic, creative way. So he's like, you know, Bela's like, my hero, but fortunately now my friend.
Yeah, he's just above all the rest of us. There's Bela, and then there's all the rest of us in the middle. Yeah. Want to do.
It does seem like that.
Have you seen a schedule for this year already? Let me just do this for a second. I know you guys are busy, but
sure.
You know how he does so many different, not only dates, but it'll be Bela and
Andy. Colorado Symphony.
With the Colorado Symphony. Then the Flecktones. And then Bela with, Edgar Meyer and a bunch of other people. And then the Bluegrass Heart. And they're all like back to back. I don't know how he does it without...
I think Bela's able to do that now because he's worked his entire career to get to where he is. If he hadn't lived in a tour bus
That's right.
17 years, pounding out gig after gig with the Flecktones, he wouldn't be where he is. So he's earned every bit of success he's having now, and it's beautiful to see him be able to, you know, do what he's doing. Because over the course of his career, it wasn't, you know, you have to work many, many years to get the opportunity to do what he's doing now. So it's really cool to see.
It is. And it
must be really fun. But, I mean, the man worked.
Oh, he's a hard...
I bet he finishes a tour and he's like, oh, God.
I think he finishes a tour and starts working on another piece of music.
Yeah, he's got to. He's got to practice.
That's what he does.
Yeah. He's a workhorse.
Oh, God. Absolutely. I'm talking to Joe Troop of Larry and Joe. I want to talk about... I'm almost ready to let you go. I know you're busy. Well, there's a tune on here that every listener will recognize as Rolling My Sweet Baby's Arms. A little different. But that's one they can just immediately at least say, I recognize the tune and the words and the melody.
Yeah. So Larry and I, at every show, we play that song as a sing-along with the audience on bluegrass banjo and bluegrass maracas, which every good bluegrass band needs is maracas. And
as long as they aren't spoons, I'll do the maracas.
Yeah, mientras no sean cucharas, estamos bien. Larry liked that.
Oh, good. Okay.
But we in the studio, we laid it down and we got a good take, and we're like, man, let's juice this up a little bit. So I put some harmony vocals on it, and then Larry put Latin bass, which, curiously, this kind of like... Es este por cuatro, no, seis ocho. It's like a 6-8 feel, akin to what you might hear on, like, old Stanley Brother recordings. Their bass player, I don't even know who he was. He's, like, doing some wacky polyrhythmic stuff. Anyway, it reminds me of that. It works like, it fits like a glove. Larry's doing 6-8 Latin bass over, you know, a 4-4 bluegrass standard.
Yeah.
Also plays ¿Qué más le pusiste? Solo bajo.
Por bajo y maracas.
Bajo y maracas y banjo.
Y
voces. And that's it. So that bass really kind of like interestingly glued it together, and then I threw some harmony vocals on, and Larry, of course, is singing the tenor part. Oh, God, and then we forgot. Well, small omission. Charlie Hunter put a guitar track.
Oh, really?
Which, okay. Yeah, it's the most unexpected. It's like go-go bordello. Like, I feel like I'm in I feel like I'm, like, on an acid trip in the desert.
I get that reference. I'm not going to explain it right now, but I get it.
Yeah, Charlie he has this magical way of bringing exactly what you need but never thought you needed to something. So he's just doing these basic, like, ¿qué sería? Como Telecaster o algo así.
No, tiene una guitarra.
Una guitarra. ¿Qué tipo de guitarra es?
Guitarra que tiene.
We don't know what kind.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's some sort of special guitar sound. We're not very electrically oriented. But it's got that, like, that, like, desert. Yeah, he put the exact needed notes in the exact spot, and it just works. And we're like, well, we laughed so hard when we heard that track mixed. We're like, no way. We're like, electric guitar on this track? He does so minimal. It's so minimal, but
well,
it's got the right kind of, like, twang.
You said the right thing. Charlie is, in my opinion, very minimal, but unbelievably tasty, the notes that he chooses and what he
genius,
does.
Man.
Absolute
he's a genius.
Yeah. I'm enjoying this so much, and I want to thank both of you, Larry and Joe, for for putting this music into a form that I can get and share as you continue to take us on this journey of exploring the combination of the Venezuelan music and the bluegrass music and everything you've discussed. I think it's a remarkable album. I'm so thrilled you had a chance to
thank you,
stop
Steve.
For a minute and
thanks
talk
for
to
listening
me.
To it, man. We really appreciate your support. I know you're. I know it might challenge bluegrass listeners, but I think if audiences give it a chance, they'll get it. It's not. I know a lot of fusion can kind of be sort of maybe even tacky, but I think we found something authentic in this, and the bluegrass does shine through on that album.
Oh, absolutely.
It's not like the centerpiece, but it's there. So.
Well, I enjoy it, and by the way, Unreal Bluegrass has heard a lot of interesting fusions of different music over the years, so they're not unused to hearing things that are not. I don't define bluegrass, first of all. That's what the Unreal Bluegrass kind of means. Is when they get into discussions, what is real bluegrass? Count me out. I'm already saying, as a starter, I'm not part of that discussion. I play good music. So I appreciate that so much, and I want you to introduce then. You were going to introduce the title cut, Nuevo.
Yeah, Nuevo South Train is a song that I wrote that Larry immediately brought something really special to. So I had this concept of metric modulation, like a constant metric modulation between bluegrass and then this like crazy 6/8 feel of many different Latin American genres of music, bouncing back and forth between English and Spanish. And so we played this guitar live with bass and guitar, and we sing harmony vocals in Spanish. I just do this kind of John Hartford-y lyricism in English and try not to screw up the words because there's a lot of them. Then listening with our brilliant technician, Jason Richmond, who co-produced, did all the recording of this album. He's like, man, you need to throw a bluegrass banjo on there, which was a real challenge with all the modulations. Like, finding the rhythmic pocket was interesting. So bluegrass players will listen to that and be like, "That's how does it fit?" It's kind of hard to make the banjo fit with what we were doing, but it came out great, and it really captures the essence of like that hillbilly southwestern Virginia bluegrass picking that I love, and it also just has the right amount of polyethnic tech, like tact from all across the Americas. It's a composition we're really happy with. So when we heard the final album back, we're like, that has to be the title track. And the Nuevo South, because we are the Nuevo South.
That's right.
Latin
yeah.
joke only exists in North Carolina.
That's right.
¿Verdad, mano? Que nosotros no podríamos existir en ningún otro lugar.
No.
We're Carolina boys. That's how.
I'm going to let North Carolina.
Larry's going to tell you about North Carolina.
Okay, go.
North Carolina para mí es el estado perfecto.
North Carolina for me is the perfect state.
That says it all, though. I think it says
it
all.
Yeah, he loves it.
Right.
Gente, the people, el, la comida.
The food, the fried pork.
The fruits and vegetables.
The fruits and vegetables, yes. The array of fruit, basically.
Listen, guys, be safe on your drive. I can't wait till you come close enough or where I can find the time to find you live. I think it would be just because I think it's evolution.
Hey, you're in Kentucky, right?
Yes, sir.
We'll be there, I think, mid-February we're in Kentucky, so mm-hmm. in Louisville and Lexington.
I'll look that up. Thank you so much, Larry and Joe. Thank you, Joe, for going back and forth with Larry. Please tell Larry I appreciate what he's doing, and I love the music, and I love the conversation that you're giving me also. And then we're going to leave with Nuevo South, which is, Nuevo South. I can't read my own handwriting, which is part of the reason that I have these problems. We'll end with that, and I'll say goodbye to you guys, and then have a safe journey musically
thank
and
you,
also
Steve.
Where you're going.
Thank you, Steve.
Thank you so much. I'll talk to you later.
Thank you. Thanks, Steve.
See ya.
Thanks, Steve. Take care.
Bye-bye.